I want to get right into the word this morning because I have a word. I know it's from the Lord, and I hope that we came to hear and to receive, not only just to hear it, but actually receive it. You know, when we reject the truth, we reject Him who is the truth. We may say, well, I that's a little strong, that's a little hard, I don't know if I like that. And if you reject the truth, you're actually rejecting Him who is the truth. And not love His word. When you love Jesus, you'll love truth, even when it hurts. And I'm going to say some things today that might make maybe some of us angry. I get angry sometimes, you know, when I hear something that I don't really want to hear. But there's another part of me that says, but that's what you need to hear. Listen to the one that says that's what you need to hear. Amen. And tell that other bozo to shut up, right? Because I need the truth, because it's the truth that will set you free. You know, many of us are bound because we don't know what is authentic, what is real. Truth is what is real. And so we need that revelation from the Holy Spirit that will change our thinking. Because if you change your thinking, you'll change your life. Our problem is stinking thinking, you know. We have the wrong thinking. And we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So I pray today, Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and unveil them to us today. Lord, sow into our hearts with understanding the truth, God, that sets and keeps us free in You. Lord, You called us to liberty. And we ask You to liberate every one of us today, every captive, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of today's message is Receiving the Real Jesus. Receiving the Real Jesus. And I want to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Forgive me, I'm recovering from a week-long flu thing. And thank God I'm about 80% through it. So bear with me, my voice may be a little raspy and rough, but I pray that the Spirit of God will come through this flawed vessel today. But Paul is a father speaking here to his sons and daughters in the Lord, those who he had, you know, poured his heart into, and he had made disciples of the Corinthian church. He was one of those who were about that business. As an apostle, he would travel from place to place, and he would go and strengthen and encourage, and in some cases correct the church. 2 Corinthians 11, 2, for I am jealous for you, he says, with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband. You know, not all jealousy is bad, would you agree? There's the right kind of jealousy and there's the wrong kind of jealousy. The jealousy that's, I'm coveting somebody, what somebody else has and I'm jealous of them, is the wrong kind of jealousy. But if you're jealous over somebody because you have love for that person and concern and care for them, that's a good jealousy. Amen. I mean, if you never get jealous over your wife or your husband, you know, there might be a little problem there in a good way. Have you ever been jealous of your husband or your wife? But, you know, it's a good jealousy, right? Because your heart is for that person, and, you know, and you don't want that person violated or taken from you or destroyed. When you love your children, amen. There's a good jealousy there. Amen. You don't want anybody to take advantage of your children or hurt your children in any way. And so anyways, he's saying, I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's speaking, you know, in the sense that the church is the bride in type of Christ. Amen. Even as Eve came out of Adam, you know, God took her actually out of Adam and formed her and brought her back to Him. And the two were one. Amen. The first couple. And so we see a type of Christ in the church there, even in the picture of Adam and Eve. And we were born of blood. Amen. And came out of blood and water. We were birthed into new life in Christ. And we came, if you will, out of His grace we were born, but then we were brought back to join together with Him in fellowship, to walk with Him. That we are now in a relationship, whereas everything I have now is his. Everything. And everything he has, which is much better, is mine. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. So Paul is using this type here, and he's saying, listen, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't want you guys polluted by the world. I don't want you mixed up in your understanding and your thinking, because if you have wrong thinking, you'll have bad fruit in your life. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes to you preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You'll tolerate it. Are we not living in an age of tolerance today? That's the word, tolerance. And people who don't happen to agree with another person's opinion are called intolerant. How many know that we are free-willed agents? God made us that way. And you're allowed to have your opinion. Amen? You're allowed to form your own opinion, and you don't have to believe what everybody believes. It's all right. But I know this, I don't want to believe a lie. Amen? I want to believe what is true. And I want to stick to the truth. Even if the crowd's not going with the truth, I want to stick to the truth. Because I know it's only the truth that's going to protect me and keep me. Amen? So Paul was jealous because he felt this personal responsibility for the church here. And his desire, what he was saying is, in the coming day when the Lord returns for his bride, for his church, and coming in clouds of glory, in that day when we see Jesus Christ, he says, I want to present you faultless before him in that day. I want you to be as a pure virgin who has kept herself for her husband. Amen. Now, all of us would say, well, my life has been a mess. I've made a lot of mistakes. But that's the awesome thing about redemption and the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Because the precious blood of Christ can cleanse me from all that garbage, all of my past, all of my mistakes, and give me a brand new beginning. Amen. And if I'm in this world and I get my feet dirty, thank God there's cleansing for that too. Amen. But don't dance in the mud puddle. Amen. Get out of the puddle. Don't stay there. Amen. If God pulls you out, it's for a reason. He doesn't want his people dirty. He doesn't want us mixed. He doesn't want us lovers of this world. Amen. Because this world is coming to nothing. And so Paul was concerned also because there were false teachers that were leading him astray. And they had an attitude of tolerance here. That they were just putting up with all this different persuasion. Well, if that's what you believe, that's good. And I believe this, and you believe that. Oh, well, that's fine too. We all believe whatever we want to believe. And how many know that the wide road is believing anything and everything and ends up in hell? Jesus said there's a narrow way and a wide way. And there's going to be few who find the way that leads to life. And he says, I am that way. My way is the way. We have to divorce ourselves from our own opinions. And we need to embrace what is actually authentic, what is real, and what is true. Because most of us, if you ask most people, they will think that they're right all the time, or most of the time. Would you agree? You can ask a crowd of people, do you believe that your opinion is right? Of course. I thought it, therefore it's right. But, you know, isn't that the way it is? We think that because I had this thought that, well, it's not only right, but it's probably even from God. How many people have walked up to you and said, I have a word for you? Sometimes it is a word from God. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just your opinion. Or you looked at somebody and you looked at their body language and they look like they're having a bad day and you had this epiphany, you had this revelation. You know, the Lord has revealed to me that you're having a bad day. And they're going, oh, you know, the Lord has shown me you have a headache today. You know, come on, that's bogus, right? The Spirit of God searches the deep things. He can reveal to us the hidden things, amen, of the heart. But when the Lord is speaking, it is life-giving. When the Lord speaks, it quickens, it strengthens, and it lifts a person up out of a situation. Even when there's a correction and the Lord is in the correction, it's actually life-giving. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen? I don't like being corrected, but I know that correction is necessary in my life. Amen? We all need that. I need that. But Paul was saying, I don't want you to be deceived, because I know how slick the enemy is. Just like he was able to play with Eve's mind, he plays head games. And he usually tries to get us puffed up in our own opinions, you know. He tries to tell you things like, you know what, you don't need to listen to anybody else because you're the only one that's got it right. You know, God's holding out on you. God's really not fair. He's not allowing you to eat from this tree. And therefore, what he's actually trying to do is he's trying to hold back from you something that is wonderful, that would make you powerful, that would make you a God just like him. Oh, you mean I won't have to be under any authority? I won't have to be under submission to anybody? I'll be just like God. I'll be my own God. That sounds like a pretty good idea. How many have heard that voice? How many have thought that way? How many have heard people say, I'm God, I don't need God, I am God? That's exactly the serpent speaking, amen? And let's face it, we're all born monsters in the sense that we're born fallen, amen? And we have a part of us that says, I don't want to submit, I don't want to yield, I want to be my own God, I call the shots. And you know what? God says you are in charge of your life. I give you the ability to make the decisions, and to yield or not to yield, it's up to you. To believe or not to believe. But isn't it a true? I mean, we have the choice to make whether we're going to believe what God says or we're going to lift our opinion up above what God says. And this is the problem, folks, is that when we're high in our own minds, when we're arrogant in our thoughts, the enemy can camp out there and destroy you. And the Bible says that God gives his grace to the humble. He lifts up the humble, but the proud he knocks down. And it's only a matter of time. And the reason why some people can never get up in life, in a good sense, I mean, is because of arrogance. And you know what? Eventually, those things that are hidden will be brought into the light. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. How about this? This is what sometimes we deal with. Faith in Christ mixed with worldly philosophies. How about faith in Christ plus the observance of the law of Moses? Keeping all the regulations. How about faith in Christ mixed with mind sciences, psychology, psychiatry? You know, the Word of God is not enough. Christ is not enough. I need all this other stuff additionally added into my Christian experience. But the Bible tells us in Colossians that you are complete in Christ. In Him, in whom dwells all the fullness. Now, we have to hear this. Sometimes psychiatry is just taking principles from the Word and saying, this is what man came up with. They just reword it a little bit. But other times, folks, it's just bogus stuff that sounds right, but it really doesn't help anybody because all it does is keeps a person on the line, if you will. They're like hooked into this thing, this system that keeps you constantly on the line, constantly, oh, forever getting counseling, money pouring out into the counselor, amen? And yet you're never really getting healed. You get a temporary relief because you've unloaded something that was on your chest, which is good. We need to confess stuff, amen? But it doesn't heal you. Only Christ can heal the heart of man. He was fearing here if anyone came to Corinth preaching another Jesus. So it's possible that people may be hearing about or receiving a different Jesus. That they might be receiving a different Holy Spirit. It's not actually the Holy Spirit at all. It's a different spirit. And they may actually be hearing a different gospel. Even back in that day, he's saying there is a counterfeit, there is a corrupted presentation of the gospel where they're presenting actually a different Jesus. They were becoming open and tolerant to every kind of worldly idea. This is what was happening. It was infiltrating into the church. And what it was doing is it was weakening them, because what it was doing is it was distracting them away from the presence of the Lord, from the ability or the power or the grace of God, and they begin to trust in other things. Is this making sense? It was dividing them up. They were becoming double-minded, if you will, because yes, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe also in keeping all these laws and rules. And did I miss one today, or did I feel? How many know it's not about the rules and the regulations? Amen. It's about the law that's on your heart by the Holy Spirit that tells you this is the way to live, and you walk in relationship with God and people that you love, you seek to honor them and to bless them and to glorify them, amen. And people that you love, you don't want to do things that grieve them, that hurt them. That's a relationship with Jesus, amen. It's not about, well, if I do this, this is what's going to happen. It's like your kid, you know, where you say, stay out of the cookie jar. No, none of you have ever had a cookie jar experience, but I think we can all identify with a cookie jar right here. Yeah, we've all had that cookie jar experience. Stay out of the cookie jar, right? and so now all of a sudden it looks even more appealing. It looks, oh, why can't I have that cookie? Oh, that cookie sounds even better than ever before. Now I want that cookie. Yeah. And then you get caught, and you know the evidence is all over you, all over your face, and you say, you've been in the cookie jar now. Yeah. But you don't want your child to obey you only because if I get caught, you know, there are repercussions or I won't get any more cookies. But you want your child to say, you know what, I want to honor you as my mom and my dad. You know, I don't want to make your life miserable, but I want to make your life pleasant. When you love your mom and your dad like you're supposed to, amen? When you honor your mother and father like you're supposed to, you don't do the things that grieve their heart, at least not intentionally, amen? So it is likewise with the Father in heaven. We don't do things that grieve His heart because we love our Father, and we only want to honor His name. And we realize also that when you go out and you represent your earthly parents, you know what I'm talking about, teenagers, when you've been, anybody here been a teenager before? Maybe you're a teenager now. You know, and you have that last name that you carry, you know, around at school or wherever you find yourself, and that last name. And when somebody hears that last name, they say, oh, yeah, I know who Arnsmeyer is. Oh, say, oh, yeah, I know that young man. Upright, outstanding student, you know, always respectful. I wish that was the case. I wish I could go back and redeem the time. But if you're here today, understand that you represent your parents. Amen. And I knew I embarrassed my parents many times at the parent-teacher meeting, you know. Oh, God, help. I began to learn how to pray and fast during those times. I'd be under the bed, oh, God, don't let them tell them, no. And you know what? I found some of my teachers were pretty gracious. They come back, and I was like, they actually had a smile on their face. It's like, awesome. Isn't that how God is sometimes? We don't get what we really deserve. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm in big trouble. But then when you find pardon, you find mercy. You didn't deserve it, but you found mercy. It's like, man, I like this God. I like this Jesus. I think I will serve Him. I think I will willingly obey Him because I don't want to hurt Him back anymore. Isn't that true? Paul's saying, you guys, you know, I'm afraid if somebody came with some other Jesus, you're going to put up with it. How many know there's only one true Jesus? There's one body and one spirit, Ephesians 4:4, just as you were called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. John 14:6, how many know this one? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, right? Jesus made it clear that the road to life is narrow, and there are few who find it. In Luke 19:12, Jesus gave this parable. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said, that's a certain sum of money, and said to them, do business till I come. So that's like Jesus going to heaven and then giving His Holy Spirit and giving His gifts unto you and I, His church, amen, and say, now be faithful with what I've given you, because there's coming a day when I'm going to come back. And in that day, we want to have confidence, amen, that we have been good. with what God entrusted to us as stewards. Amen? How many want to see Jesus in that day say, well done? Yes. But he said, but his citizens hated him. And they sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Who is the certain nobleman? The certain nobleman was the Lord Jesus Christ. The 10 servants are his followers or disciples. And the citizens represented the Jewish nation who at that time had rejected the Lord at his first appearance. But listen to what he said here. Verse 14, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now listen to what Jesus said. We're going to go on. There's a correlation between loving the Lord and submitting to his lordship. These citizens hated him and they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. There's a correlation between loving Jesus and obeying him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my word, keep my commandments. So do you see this? That Jesus actually said, it's as if you hate him when you don't obey him. Now, have you ever created a Jesus of your own who is tolerant or accepts whatever you think or say is right? Have we created a Jesus in our own imagination, in our own mind, who tolerates or accepts anything we think is okay? Anything we think is right? Do we have a Jesus that's a yes Jesus? I think this has to be the other way around, don't you? We need the yes people when it comes to God. Not to men, but when it comes to God, we need to be yes people. Amen? Do you understand what idolatry is? That's idolatry. Idolatry is fashioning a God that you like. Your God will look like you want him to look. He will either approve or disapprove what you approve of or disapprove of. Your God will bless you and give you everything you want. He'll be like this sugar daddy that just gives you everything you want whenever you want it. He's your God. You form a God in your own imagination. But you know what? We have to be careful that we're not actually serving a different Jesus altogether. A false Jesus that cannot save. Luke 19:27. This is what Jesus said. He said, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. That's how serious of a matter it was. These people says we don't want him. We reject him and we will not have this man to reign over us. Folks, are we saying that in our own heart in the sense that we say, I hear what God says, but I choose not to follow his way. I will not allow this Jesus to tell me what to do. The Bible says that if that is the case, you are actually an enemy of God. You're an enemy of God when you refuse to believe the love of the truth. His love letter to us is the Word of God. It is a love story about God loving a sinful world so much that he, in this person of his son, became a man and paid the price that we deserve to pay. He bought us with his own precious blood on the cross. That's the love of God. That's the love of the truth that can save. That's the Jesus. But this same Jesus also taught us, and he says, if you are going to be my disciples, you have to understand something. It is impossible for you to save yourself. Any amount of your own goodness is not enough. Does that make sense? Because then we have to ask the question, well, when do I arrive at good enough? When do I finally get to the place where I'm good enough to be accepted of God? Our goodness is no good. My standard of righteousness is no good before God. God gives us his standard of righteousness. And that standard is his son, Jesus Christ, the perfect one. who paid the price for us, who bought us with his own blood. He took our place. He paid the price for us, didn't he? I want to talk about a few things here, folks. The true and the false Jesus. Are you ready? Everybody say amen if you're ready. Okay, here's one. The false Jesus says, this is politically incorrect, but you know what? We need to stick to the Word of God, amen, no matter what. The false Jesus says, it's okay for a man to lay with another man. But the true Jesus says in Leviticus 18:22, who is the Word, he says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That word abomination means detestable or morally disgusting. That's what God says about the gay lifestyle. He doesn't say that about, he wants the people to be saved, but to engage in that type of activity is actually, to God, it is disgusting. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, here's the New Testament, folks. Are you ready? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? There are people teaching that it's okay to live and engage in that lifestyle, and you're going to go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. Hear what it says. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will have any inheritance in the kingdom of God unless they repent. Here's another one. The false Jesus says this. It's okay to engage in sex outside of marriage. But the true Jesus says, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Wow. Remember, folks, the enemy of God says, I will not have this man to reign over me. I know what he says, but I don't care. I'm not going to listen. Here's another one. The false Jesus says it's okay to bend or break the laws governing the land. But the true Jesus says this in Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Donald Trump has been appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. This is what God says. This is what the true Jesus says. And folks, this battle is really against the true Jesus. People don't want the true Jesus. They don't want this man to rule over them. So what happens is people create a Jesus of their own fashioning that will approve of what they want. But that kind of Jesus, unfortunately, folks, cannot save your soul, because it's a false Jesus. Here's another one. The false Jesus says there's nothing wrong with having an occasional visit to the psychic, the palm reader, the fortune teller. There's nothing wrong dabbling with Wicca or Harry Potter or Ouija boards or Dungeons and Dragons or any occult video games, because as long as you just treat it as a form of entertainment. Well, let me tell you what the true Jesus says in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. He said to the people when they were getting ready to go into the land, he says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That means a human sacrifice. Or one who practices witchcraft. Or a soothsayer. Amen? Or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer. You know, this soothsayer can also be a fortune teller, right? And or one who conjures spells. We got this big thing about sorcerers. Young people now want to become sorcerers because Harry Potter has made that popular today. And they're leading our youth, our young people, and even adults down the primrose path to hell, because that is the way of death, folks. And one who conjures spells. Or a medium, those who do seances, you know, a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead, talking to the dead. How many know, folks, that once you leave here, there's no communication? What people are talking to is not a deceased relative, but they're talking to a demon spirit impersonating a relative. They're called familiar spirits. And so in Ephesians 5:11, Paul is saying, he's warning the church, are you hearing today? Please listen. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Abstain, or in the King James it says, flee from all appearance or form of evil. And that word form means any view or appearance or shape or sight of evil. Stay away from it. Don't put it before your eyes. Don't deal with it. Amen. Don't play around with it. He says, flee from it. Stay away from this stuff. Why? Because that's how you open a portal to the demonic that will infest your life and to destroy your soul. And even as a believer, you can get infected because it's rebellion against what God has told us not to do.
Amen.
Amen. We've had to pray deliverance over Christians before because of playing around with this stuff. Oh, it's just an innocent game. It's just a little Dungeons and Dragons and role playing. You know what? It's introduction into witchcraft is what it is. That's exactly what it is. Oh, some people are not going to like this word, but folks, we've got to accept the real Jesus, because if you refuse the real Jesus, you're going to get a counterfeit. And that counterfeit will not save you. He may make you think that you're saved, but you're actually not. You're not saved until you actually repent of your sins. You understand? We see people today are being offered a Jesus that requires no repentance. Just a feel-good Jesus. A feel-good Jesus that agrees with whatever I think is right. If I thought it, it's got to be right. It's got to be from God because I thought it. I'm not trying to be mean, folks. I love you. And I'm telling you that we've got to wake up. The church in America has got to wake up. There's every kind of sin and condoning of that sin in the church in America. It has been infected by these things. If you want power, you want purity. Amen? You want true power from God, you've got to have purity. You want to have authority against these demons and these things that are out to destroy you, then you've got to quit playing with them. And you know what? The devil will leave you alone too if you play with them for a season. He'll even give you, he'll give you a little sign and a wonder too. He'll make it work. He'll make that Ouija board thing move, you know. Oh, check it out. It's actually working. That's just to draw you in deeper and deeper and deeper. You're opening a portal to the demonic. See, some people, they need the devil cast out of them because of those very things. But you know what? Jesus is here to set the captive free.
Amen.
Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus died for you. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for the unrighteous. He died for you and he died for me, the unrighteous. Amen? We've all blown it. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. I'm not up here as one who's a holier than thou. I have to say the same thing. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, be merciful to me. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, get it out of me, because I don't want anything, amen, in me that's not of you, or anything that would hinder me from my relationship with you. I don't want to accept anything into my home, amen, that would potentially invite a demon into my place. I don't want my children playing with anything that could infest them and destroy their soul. As a godly mother and father, you got to say, you know what? We say no to the devil. Amen. Give no place to the devil, the Bible says. No place. Zero. When we walk in fellowship with the true Jesus, we agree that his word is good, it's pure, holy, and delightful, and food for our soul. Isn't it true? When we really walk with the real Jesus, we would agree that his word is good. It doesn't always feel good, but it's good. And it's suit food for my soul. Actually, I find the truth now delightful. When I was in rebellion, I would receive the things that I like, but the things that went or offended my mind, I won't have this man to rule over me in that area. You know what I'm talking about? There's places, there's compartments in us sometimes where when the Word of God comes and it begins to touch us in a certain area, it's like the light comes on and the cockroaches are exposed. It's like when I lived in Georgia, you know, we'd come in the middle of the night in the kitchen, the light would come on. Never knew they were there, but boy, the light comes on, it exposed them. How many know we need the light of Christ to expose our hearts? How many say, Lord, I want the light. If there's anything in me that's not good, expose it, Lord. Bring it to my attention because I want to repent. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. I want to be set free from these things. And I want your Holy Spirit to completely fill my life again. Amen? Where I'll have joy, unspeakable, full of glory. I want the Lord. How about you? I want this man to rule over me. You can rule over me, Lord. Be Lord of my life. I only get myself in trouble. And so Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 22, I'm almost through, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind through the truth, remember, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. As children of the light, we are to walk in the light. Walking in the light means coming into the light of Christ, who is the truth. Walking in the light means coming into the light of Christ, who is the truth. Amen? Jesus said, this is what condemns you. You get light, you have an opportunity to come into light, but you say, I'd rather not. I like living in the dark. And he says, that will condemn a person. But if a person says, you know what? I don't want the darkness anymore. I don't like who I am. I don't like what I become. When I see myself as I really am, I say, God, I'm disgusted at what I see, and I don't know what else to do about it except come into the light and say, God, I'm just a mess. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Please liberate me. Blot out my sins, Lord. Give me a clean slate. Give me a new beginning. And you know He will. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How many want to have all your sins washed away today? All your sins washed away. Not every hand went up here today. How many want all your sins washed away? Stand up, would you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know what? Even though I was speaking today, the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about certain things. Even some of the things that I didn't mention today, God's been turning the light on. He's been showing you those cockroaches. How many want to get those cockroaches out of your life? Amen. So lift your hands and surrender to Jesus Christ today, who is the light of the world. Lord, we pray right now that the light of Christ Jesus will shine into every heart right now. God, we pray that you would expose and, Lord, bear open us right now before you. God, our hearts are like flowers open before you right now, God. And we say, Jesus, come in, shine the light into me, God, right now. Hallelujah. I renounce my ways, God. I turn from my ways. Just tell the Lord, I'm renouncing my ways. I don't like who I am. I don't like what I've become, but I want who you are. I want to be a new creation. I want my sins forgiven. Lord, I want deliverance from demons. And I ask you, Lord, to drive them out of my life right now in Jesus' name. So now in the authority of Jesus Christ, I command every spirit, hallelujah, that is not of the Holy Spirit right now, to get out in Jesus' name. We command you, loose them right now. Get out in Jesus' name. Loose them now. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation today. God, we thank you. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say, Jesus, cleanse me from all sin. I will live for you. And for your glory, take me, Lord, all of me, body, soul, spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Woo. How many felt something leave you today? God's doing a house cleaning, folks. There's more. God, listen to the Spirit of God. As God begins to show these things to you, be honest and repent. Amen? That means turn to Him. Don't run away from Him, turn to Him. And confess your sins to Jesus Christ. And He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all sin. Hallelujah. The problem of sin has already been canceled. It's already been dealt with. Jesus Christ defeated our adversary over 2,000 years ago at the cross. And the grace and mercy of God now flows freely to the repentant heart. The heart that says, God, I want You. I don't want me anymore. I want Your life. I want to give You this life for Yours. Hallelujah.